The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, as life expectancy increases, many are questioning whether Ireland should set a mandatory age for retirement. Should you be forced to retire if you wish to continue working? And what does the law say about age discrimination and equality? Well, I'm joined now by Cliona Kimber, Senior Counsel. Cliona, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Delighted to be here.
So, is there such a thing as a mandatory retirement age in Ireland?
There isn't across the whole sector. I mean, the civil service, public service, they have legislation in place and it's tied into the pension scheme. But if you're in the private sector, it depends what's in your contract.
Now, explain what the rule says about the public service, because it's not one size fits all.
No, it's not. And the government sort of chopped and changed and went along with the economic cycle over the past 20 years. And at one point they decided, when we were in full economy, well, we'll take away the retirement age because they were finding it hard to keep public servants. So there's a whole cohort in there in the middle who have no retirement age. And then there are some with a retirement age of 65, the older ones, and there are some with a retirement age of 70. So you have the very strange situation in the public and civil service.
Okay, now we often hear that High Court judges have to retire at 70.
That's
okay,
right.
So that's for them. What about the rank and file, ordinary principal officer or whatever? What age must they retire at?
Depends on what age they started.
So if they started back in the day when there were really gold-plated pensions,
yes,
they go out at 65, end of.
Yes, yes.
And then
there was another cohort which came in just before the economic crash, and they would have no retirement ages. And then the government kind of changed its policy again in and around 2012. And then that's 70.
So it depends when you came in. If you came in after 2012, you retire at 70.
Roughly. I'm not 100% sure of
that. Okay, but there are their best.
Yeah.
But there's one cohort in there who can go on forever.
Yes.
So if you're, for example, a secretary in a government department, you can keep going. If you hit the right spot. Yeah, if you hit the right spot.
Yes, exactly. And it's sort of ridiculous. And people come all the time to me in my practice saying, well, you know, Mary is sitting across from me and she came in at a certain time. She's the same age as me. I have to go. She doesn't. And that's not fair.
Yeah, because, I mean, people could be the same age, but having entered the service at different times.
Exactly.
So you've got two rules.
Exactly.
For people of exactly the same age.
Exactly.
Is the government intending to do anything about this?
I don't think so, but there has been a certain amount of pressure. I mean, there was a case, Barbara Geraghty against the Revenue Commissioners, and she won her case on that basis. That was a few years ago. And there are ongoing ones. There's an ongoing pressure, but I can't say what the government is intending to do, Pat. You probably need to have one of the ministers.
But I mean, is the government
kind
of aware of this problem?
I think they are, yes.
Now, looking to other sections of the public service, for example, I mean, if you were on a consultant contract, would you have to go at a certain time, even though you might continue way on in public practice, in private practice?
As I understand it, yes. It depends on what the particular contract says, yes.
Hmm. Now, in terms of the guards, the fire service, what rules do they have? Because you want, in theory, your guard on the beat to be sound in wind and limb, to be able to pursue in the new baseball cap uniform the perpetrators, you know, in a timely fashion, shall we say.
Yes.
And firemen going up a ladder, hauling, rescuing someone down over the shoulder, carrying them down the ladder.
Yes.
You can't see that happening at 75.
No, you can't. And that's why when you look at the kind of overall rules, like a lot of them that, you know, come in with this age discrimination in Europe, they said you can have a retirement age. This member states are entitled to have a retirement age, but it has to be justified. And Pat, you've hit the nail on the head there. They said a lot of it depends on the actual job people are doing. Clearly a firefighter, air traffic controller, guard, a lot of these physical activities can have a much lower age than, shall we say, our judge or county sheriff or, you know, other.
Now, you mentioned the county sheriff. There has been a case.
There has been a case, yes.
And what was the case? Who took it and what was the action?
Yes. Mr. Mallon was a county sheriff and there was legislation in place which said he had to go at 70, and he said this was discriminating against him on grounds of age, and he challenged it. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, okay, there are rules saying you can't discriminate on grounds of age unless you justify it. And then the Supreme Court looked and said, no, in this circumstance, it's justified. Whole range of factors around balancing what Mr. Mallon's rights were and balancing what the state's were. But crucial in that, and this is where a lot of the ambiguity comes in. Crucially, they said Mr. Mallon could continue on to work privately if he wanted. He was a solicitor and he had enough money to live on in his retirement. And it might be different for people who didn't have enough money.
That's a very interesting caveat by the Supreme Court saying if someone is beggared by, it could be their own fault or it could be life just to treating them in a bad way, they can maybe continue on when someone else might be forced to retire just because the other person was thrifty.
Well, I wouldn't say thrifty. I suppose
it's. Do you know what I mean?
That.
The circumstances can be of your own making or it can be the vicissitudes of life.
It can be the vicissitudes of life. But there's a lot of people now. I mean, we had a big economic downturn.
Is that typical of a Supreme Court ruling? It seems to me to be very fuzzy.
It is fuzzy. I think it is fuzzy. You could, what lawyers might say would be ambiguous.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do hard and fast rules, I suppose, if you look at the other side.
Isn't that their job?
Their job is to decide the case in front of them and to try and decide.
But they also set precedent by making those decisions. It becomes very persuasive, shall we say.
Oh, absolutely. And you follow the Supreme Court. But very often they will say, well, I'm deciding on the case in front of me, but they have to leave a window open for something which might come and might have an entirely different set of facts. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they have to do justice.
Now, looking to the private sector, what about the rules there? Are there any rules saying that people must retire at any age?
There's no state rules, but if the employer has their own contract, they can put a retirement age in. But again, Pat, they have to justify that. And the private sector will often have, you'd be surprised, a lot of different rules, no more than the public sector. So some private sector people will say that people have to go at 55. Others might have a longer retirement age. But the employer, the private sector employer, still has to justify it as a matter of law. They have to have a good reason.
Okay, so even though someone signs a contract which says you enter at this point, you pay so much in superannuation, and then at 55, 60, 65, you go, even if that's in the contract, that can be breached if someone challenges it, if the employer can't stand it up.
If the employer can't stand it up.
Now, would getting in the way of other people's promotions, would that be a logic where a company, say an accountancy company, says, but if we keep you on until your dotage, well then, you know, the young firebrand at age 50 has no prospect of getting promotion because you're in there blocking the bed, as it were.
That is a factor, Pat, that you've hit the nail on the head there again. That is one of the factors that that's taken into account. But you do have to look at the overall, I suppose, like an employer has to look at its overall policy. What way am I looking at the workplace? I remember a case I was in for the ESB several years ago, and the ESB had done at that point a whole policy. Somebody had analysed the whole workplace and they had said, we've got X number coming up, X number of places. We want to have a promotional track. We need to have an intergenerational fairness, they would call it. They had looked at it. But I suppose, Pat, what you're talking about...
And who won in that case?
Oh, the ESB won in that case.
Because they had a policy.
They had a policy.
They had analysis and they were able to say that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Now, the intersection of pension and retirement, I mean, the whole idea of the state pension and whether it's 66, 67, and there are those who'd like to bring it up much higher.
Yes.
One of the arguments is always, well, people might be left high and dry. They'd be on... job seekers for the intervening period.
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure if you mentioned European law, but in France, professions like hairdressing can retire early and get an early pension. Why? Because they're on their feet all day.
Yes, yes. Well, but that's maybe something to look at. That's in the political realm. Obviously, as a barrister, I don't decide what the government does. But that is an area that certainly in my practice, people come to me and they're in hardship and they say, this is my situation. What can I do about it legally?
Now, the life expectancy, how much does that play into the whole argument?
I think it plays hugely into the argument. And certainly there's been a lot of studies done nationally, internationally, European level, looking at longer ageing, looking at the burden to the state of pensions, the burden to the employers of pensions, and saying that people really should be allowed to work on longer if they are fit and healthy. But it needs a huge societal adjustment.
Hmm. Now, the question of how someone can justify hanging on in there when the employer might want them to go. And the employer might have various reasons. For example, someone who's a bit older might be not what they want for the image of their high-tech company, for example. They might want someone behind the front desk who looks like a techie.
Yes.
And yet they've had someone behind that desk who no longer looks like a techie.
Well, when you're getting into that regime, you're finding it much more difficult to justify things. Because, I mean, a lot of things about image, I mean, there's been in the other areas of discrimination, and you had this very interesting interview with that lady from Afghanistan that I was listening to. Other areas, you know, employers have come in and they've said, well, we don't want a person of a particular race on the front desk, or we don't want a person wearing a hijab on the front desk. And the European court there is saying, look, image is not a legitimate objective. You know, if you have a legitimate objective of health or safety or workforce planning, that's a different matter. But image...
Image is interesting, and it's a question for another day, perhaps. But, you know, that idea, we want you in the office, smart casual. What does that mean?
Well, that depends on the workplace, doesn't
it? I mean,
it?
I'm just wondering how that would be litigated.
Yes. Well, look, there's no laws against...
My trainers are smart. My raggedy jeans are trendy.
Well, that's a matter for another day, perhaps.
Cliona Kimber, Senior Counsel, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.
You're very welcome.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.